Order.
Good news this week for members of the Port Chalmers Bowling Club. They're finally getting the green light for their club to ratify a lease over reserve land.
They've been waiting since 1977 to have it done. If there are any members of the original Port Chalmers Bowling Club still around, they'll be raising a glass of sherry when this bill passes through the House.
Labour's Stuart Nash gearing up to celebrate the passing of the Reserves and Other Lands Disposal Bill. More on that later in the programme after this report on the week from Rhys Lyon.
For the second week in a row, housing was a hot topic in Question Times, starting with the Prime Minister John Key responding to reports that his government could consider selling state houses to an Australian not-for-profit outfit by attacking his rivals across the chamber.
This is the reality. The Labor Party in New Zealand is scared of an Australian charity coming to New Zealand. They must be incredibly scary because their foundation shareholder...
Order. The answer's gone on for long enough.
The Speaker, who also had to decide on a request for a snap debate on Mr Key's announcement on Thursday of new governance arrangements replacing the Canterbury Earthquake Recovery Authority, or CERA. Mr Carter said the request from Labour's Ruth Dyson met all the criteria for an urgent debate and was an important subject likely to be of considerable public interest.
However, the government's announcement also indicated that legislation would be introduced to give effect to the new structure. Consideration of this bill will provide opportunities to debate the proposed new governance arrangements. For that reason, the application is declined.
A day earlier, Wednesday, and the general debate featured this contribution from Green MP Kennedy Graham.
Today, New Zealand assumes the presidency of the UN Security Council, the first time in 21 years and only the sixth time since 1945. It is a matter of considerable global responsibility. This House should convey its best wishes to the delegation for a successful job. What might New Zealand aspire to achieve as president that might be in some way unique?
And that was the subject of questions earlier in the day to the Prime Minister from Kennedy Graham's Green Party co-leader, Matilia Ture.
Will the Prime Minister's government, as its first positive action as President of the UN Security Council, join the 135 other governments globally who recognise the sovereign state of Palestine? And if not, why not?
Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Can I answer the first part of the question? No.
Supplementary question. The Matilia Ture.
Will his government make a positive difference to world affairs by increasing New Zealand's refugee quota beyond 750 per year, which currently places us as 90th in the world per capita?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, not at this time, no.
John Key. And as mentioned earlier, Tuesday saw the harmful digital communications bill overcome the opposition it had faced in its earlier stages from Labour and New Zealand First. Both parties had voted against giving the bill a second reading, but, albeit reluctantly, had come around to support it after changes made in the committee stage, as explained by New Zealand First's Tracy Martin.
New Zealand First was concerned about the fact that we didn't want to criminalise children when there were other options available to us. So we worked constructively with the Minister. The Minister put in a supplementary order page that addressed all of New Zealand First's concerns.
Tracy Martin said Parliament had to protect people from harm.
If people can't behave appropriately without the Parliament stepping in and protecting those who are being attacked, those who are being affected, Yik Yak, for example. I don't know how many people in this House know who Yik Yak is. But Yik Yak is a is an app where people can actually make comments, just constantly blur their mind on through this app. And for university students, the majority of the time it's about missing a lecture or whatever. Down in Wellington, it's used in a relatively constructive way. Go out of Wellington, and it's really interesting how vicious that Yik Yak is inside secondary schools. How absolutely anonymously vicious it is.
And it was that sort of harm that persuaded Jacinda Ardern and Labour to join Tracy Martin and New Zealand First in supporting the bill's third reading.
On balance, as I say, Mr. Speaker, we do want to prevent harm. We have massive reservations about whether this is the right way to do it. But on balance, we've agreed, let's see where it takes us. But let's at least, as a parliament, be of wise enough to accept that this is new territory, and it would be wise for us to keep a very watchful eye on the way that this legislation works.
Jacinda Ardern's caucus colleague and Shadow Attorney General David Parker explained that Labor had shared fears expressed by other parties at a potential threat to freedom of speech as contained in the Bill of Rights.
And given that this legislation is passed after the Bill of Rights and is more specific than the general provisions of the Bill of Rights, it's likely that the provisions in this legislation where there is inconsistency with the Bill of Rights are going to be interpreted in a way which will constrain rights of free expression. This could have been done in a way that is better than that and removes that ambiguity. And the way it could have been done would have been to, for example, criminalise what is obviously and clearly wrong, which is what they've done in the United Kingdom, where they've criminalised what's called revenge porn.
David Parker's doubts were shared by the ACT Party's David Seymour.
Nobody denies that incitement to suicide and revenge porn are serious dangers, and they are dangers that have come to some extent from technological advances. Well, it would have been very simple, and I have to thank the Labor Party for supporting my SOP last week, to simply say that in the Crimes Act, it is a crime to make an intimate digital recording and distribute it without that person's consent, particularly if your aim is to do harm. That's the right way to do it. I have to thank Claire Curran, who approached me early about opposing this bill, and I apologise that we weren't more proactive. I think we might have been able to defeat it. Ditto to some of my colleagues in the Greens who have bravely decided today that they will oppose this bill and support good lawmaking.
And David Seymour was joined in the Noes lobby by four of the 14 Green MPs, including their ICT spokesman, Gareth Hughes.
So, Mr Speaker, for the first time in my parliamentary career, today I'm casting a separate vote to my party because I believe this law, this bill, is the wrong solution to the right question, which is what do we do about cyberbullying? Ultimately, this bill is overbroad. It risks limiting our freedom of expression and the important role of the media in our democracy, and introduces a precedent that one thing can be legal offline, but illegal online.
The Greens' Gareth Hughes, who was joined by three of his caucus colleagues when Russell Norman revealed their split vote on the final reading of the harmful digital communications bill.
Green Party.
10 votes in favour, 4 votes against.
And with that, the bill received its third and final reading by 116 votes to 5 and was the only bill to pass its final reading during the week. Meanwhile, on Thursday, MPs briefly debated and passed a motion regarding the appointment of Alan Ritchie as the Judicial Conduct Commissioner and Catherine Snook as his deputy, both for 5-year terms. Alan Ritchie replaces retiring Judicial Conduct Commissioner David Gascoigne. And now to the committee rooms, where a petition calling for a cross-party inquiry into the effects of climate change was presented to the Finance and Expenditure Committee on Wednesday by its sponsor, Sir Alan Mark.
We as a group of well-informed New Zealanders are formally requesting that the House firstly initiates a parliamentary, that is to say, cross-party agreement to undertake a national risk assessment of economic security, energy and climate security, business continuity, ecological and environmental security, and genuine human well-being, as outlined in our petition, with an integrated, holistic approach. Secondly, that from this risk assessment, develop and implement cross-party policies to avert any confirmed threats to present and particularly future generations of New Zealanders.
Sir Alan said there was a precedent for such cross-party support in the past.
We've achieved it with Waitangi, we achieved it with nuclear issues, cross-party support, no dissension. This issue is urgent. We need stability in policy so that as we move forward, we can be assured that the action we're taking is going to be perpetuated. That's what we're asking this committee.
Sir Alan was supported by Generation Zero co-founder Paul Young, who listed some possible scenarios should New Zealand not prepare for climate change.
An increasing number of climate refugees. Another example was an interstate conflict with oil-producing nations leading to an oil price shock and the effects that that would have on the cost of petrol and diesel posing major risks to New Zealand's economy. And the third is the increasing costs of more extreme weather events creating a significant negative impact on regional and national economies.
Paul Young said there was public concern about inaction on climate change.
And in the extreme cases, I think that's actually causing some people to lose faith in, you know, can political institutions actually deal with these? So in order to address this, we really need to see leaders working together to effectively address the risks facing our society, and a national risk assessment would be an instrumental first step in that direction.
Generation Zero co-founder Paul Young speaking in support of that petition on climate change in the name of Sir Alan Mark. And that was one of just four Select Committee meetings open to the public out of the 15 Select Committee meetings held during the week. Also on Wednesday and back in the chamber, Labour's West Coast MP Damien O'Connor felt the Speaker's wrath after making an unparliamentary interjection. The incident happened after Speaker David Carter had already issued a warning to MPs.
We have now got to the stage when I've asked for less interjections. It's carried on. Mr Davis will now ask supplementary if I hear a interjection coming from anywhere in the House. That person will be immediately leaving.
It was during Labour MP Calvin Davis's questions to Environment Minister Nick Smith about swamp coal log exports when Mr O'Connor interjected, calling Mr Smith a liar, a step too far for the Speaker.
The member will stand and withdraw and apologise for that comment. The Honourable Damien O'Connor?
He refused to do so.
Then the member will immediately leave the chamber.
Next day, Thursday, and there was this request at the start of the day's sitting from Kennedy Graham.
I move that this House express its concern regarding the Government of Nauru's alleged interference with the judiciary, the suspension of opposition members of Parliament, the cancelling of passports of opposition members of Parliament, and the removal of civil and political rights.
The question is that the motion be agreed to. Those of that opinion will say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. The ayes have it.
Now back to Stuart Nash and the Port Chalmers Bowling Club, one of 16 places awaiting passing of the Reserves and Other Lands Disposal Bill to tidy up the legal status of pieces of land and their titles. The bill emerged from its committee stage on Wednesday with some facetious suggestions for an alternative title from Mr Nash.
What else can we call this bill? We could call this the Port Chalmers Bowling Club, thank God our lease has finally been ratified, Bill.
That won't happen, of course, but with Parliament adjourned for a fortnight, the third reading of the Reserves and Other Lands Disposal Bill will not occur until after the 7th anniversary of its introduction to the House on July the 15th, 2008. Almost as old, the Radio New Zealand Amendment Bill, introduced a year later in June 2009, would also spend a little longer on the order paper after its committee stage was interrupted by the adjournment on Wednesday night. Two treaty claim settlement bills received second readings and extended sitting hours on Wednesday morning. As mentioned earlier, the Harmful Digital Communications Bill was the only government measure passed this week, while for a look at the government's to-do list when the Parliament resumes on Tuesday week, July the 21st, here's the Deputy Leader of the House.
The Honourable Simon Bridges.
This week, the House begins a two-week recess. When the House resumes on Tuesday, 21st July, the government will look to begin the committee stage of the Appropriation 2015-16 Estimates Bill and to make progress on a number of third readings on the order paper.
And that order paper will be the first with the House under its new clerk, David Wilson. While MPs were able to pay their tributes to their clerk for the past 7 years in a surprise debate before question time on Wednesday.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I seek leave to move a motion without notice, recognising the retirement of Mary Harris, the Clerk of the House.
Is there any objection to that course of action being followed? There is none. The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, we'll ignore Mary, so there's none from anyone else, Mr Speaker. Mr Speaker, I move that this House recognise the retirement of the Clerk of the House, Mary Harris, and put on record our appreciation and thanks for her years of service to Parliament. Mr Speaker, Mary was appointed clerk in December 2007. She began her career in Parliament in 1987. Before coming to Parliament, she worked for the Department of Statistics, producing the labour force statistics in the Household Labour Force Survey team, was a professional violinist, captained the Wellington Women's Cricket Team from 1982 to 1986, and was vice-captain of the International 11 in the 1982 Cricket World Cup in Christchurch.
she taught Brendan McCullum everything he knows, the Speaker. Mary has had a varied career within the office of the Clerk, moving her way up to be the Clerk of the House via the Select Committee office, Clerk at the Table, Assisting Clerk, Reporting Services, Deputy Clerk, and of course, finally, Clerk. Mary has been involved with a number of important pieces of parliamentary reform during her time here. She was involved in the development of services for MPs in the first MMP Parliament and bringing the Parliament into the 21st century with the upgrade of the parliamentary website. She led the implementation of the Clerk's Leadership Development Program, has represented New Zealand and presented at numerous Commonwealth Parliamentary Association conferences and aided in the strengthening of democracy in the Pacific, notably strengthening the role of Parliament in Vanuatu. Mary's last day is on Thursday, and I understand she'll be spending some time after that cycling around Italy before returning to build a new home in Otaki Forks and focusing on honing her goal of becoming an expert fisherman. I know we all wish her well for retirement and look forward to her booty being delivered in Parliament and tabled when we can at the next opportunity of some great smoked fish.
The Prime Minister was followed by Labour's Annette King.
Mr Speaker, I'm pleased on behalf of the Labour opposition to support the Prime Minister's motion on the retirement of Mary Harris, Clerk of the House. Thank you, Mary, for your years of service to our Parliament, 28 years of them, starting in 1987. Your experience, as the Prime Minister said, has been in most sections of the Office of the Clerk, from Hansard, Select Committees, the House, Deputy, and then 7 years as the Clerk. Some of us were here under the former Clerk, Dave McGee, who was considered the foremost authority on the workings of a Westminster Parliament. And it was always going to be big shoes to fill, Mary, but you have filled those shoes. And perhaps your preparation is facing the googlies of this place. The fact that you were in the 1982 Women's Cricket World Cup, averaging 41 runs in that match against our old adversary, Australia. I'm told that she's a right-handed batswoman, and it's the only time that she has shown preference between the right and the left. Mary is our first woman clerk and our first non-lawyer as a clerk, and she has led the House through a great period of change, particularly technological change with the e-committees. And some of us are still getting to grips with those change, Mary. She embraced change, but not at the expense of Parliament's enduring values. She has shown strong commitment to finding new ways for Parliament to be open and accessible to the people who elect it. And we are the better for it. With Mary's guidance, there's been some important changes in the procedures and the smooth running of the House, such as extended sittings. And under her leadership, the office of the clerk has been described as a little gem. I think it's probably a pretty good description of Mary herself, actually. MPs have come to regard her as an impeccable and impartial source of advice, and like her predecessor, she too is now widely respected in parliaments around the world. For example, Westminster, the home of our type of parliament, sought her opinion on their governance arrangements earlier this year. An attribute so important in a clerk is to have a phenomenal recall of long-forgotten standing orders, speaker's rulings, and House proceedings. And Mary has that recall, only matched by our Trev. Her patience is legendary, and it was hugely tested during the drama of the Local Government Auckland Reorganisation Bill, which saw the tabling of over 30,000 amendments, mostly from Labor, and mostly, have to say, proved to be right. 962 of those amendments were voted on, and all the work that the Clerk's Office and Mary put into that. Another less known attribute is her ability to cover the distance between her office and the chamber at breakneck speed in a gown and high-heeled shoes at the sign of any meltdown by members of this chamber.
Next, to pay tribute to the clerk on her retirement, the co-leader of the next largest party, the Greens.
Matilia Ture.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Tēnā koe, Mary. On behalf of the Green Party, thank you so much
for all of the years that you have made a contribution to this Parliament. You have done an incredible job in the time that you have been Clerk of the House and in the years before that. It's been a real privilege to work with you and with the team that you have built. Under your leadership, I think we've seen a great deal of growth and progress in Parliament. It has been fantastic to have a woman in the role of Clerk of the House, and I'm sure that many more women will follow in time as a result of your leadership and example. Parliament is so much more accessible to so many more people as a result of your work, and that is what makes our democracy so great. That's why we are also committed to it. You've always been very kind and very generous with your time and your knowledge to our staff, to our new MPs, to new co-leaders, helping us navigate not just the process in this place, but sometimes the very tricky politics that also applies in the process. And for that, we are very grateful. Thank you. You've also never been afraid to tell it like it is to anyone who needs to hear it, including to MPs. And even just last week, you made it quite clear, and rightly so, that perhaps us MPs need to grow up and get over ourselves somewhat, not be quite so sheltered anymore. And maybe it is time for our bad behaviour to be made more public and used for satire. And I think that was a great statement to make as part of your process of leaving this place, that we are all, after all here as examples to our country of leadership. And we are being very pleased that you have shown that leadership yourself. So thank you, on behalf of us all, for all of your hard work. We wish you really well for whatever comes next, whether it's retirement or something else. There is a great deal more contribution that you can make to our country. So thank you. We want to acknowledge too that David will be taking on the role, and we look forward to his work and seeing how he will step into your shoes too. They are big shoes, no doubt he will do a good job as well. But thank you, Mary, for all of your work over these years. Kia ora. Mr. Speaker.
A few seats along the opposition's front bench, waiting to make her contribution, was Tracy Martin, still Deputy Leader of the New Zealand First Party on Wednesday.
Tracy Martin.
Kia ora, Mr. Speaker. On behalf of New Zealand First, I rise to join with others in thanking Mary. I haven't been here very long, but one of the things I remember and I acknowledge and I thank Mary for, and I know that our new MPs will, is the efforts that she and her officers have put into supporting us. I've had the privilege to travel since I've been in this job, and one of the things that I have discovered or rediscovered is the fact that actually politicians come and go, but it's the public servants and people like yourself that actually hold our democracy together. It is you who, sorry, you, Mr. Speaker, also, but Mary and her team who make sure that we follow the rules, because most of the time we spend our lives pushing against the rules, pushing those boundaries. And we push you to your limits at times, both you, Mr. Speaker, and Mary. So, Mary, just very quickly, on behalf of us all in New Zealand First, we want to acknowledge the many things, the many years that it's taken you to get to that position. As a woman and a feminist, I want to acknowledge you smashing that wee glass ceiling. I hope it stays broken. David, that's nothing against you. We expect to have great things from you. But to you, Mary, all the best. Nothing interferes with life so much as work. So I'm sure that there are so many more things, so much more that you will give to us as a country once you return from your cycling holiday in Italy, because you won't be able to help yourself. You're that type of person, Mary. So welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you from all of us here. Kia ora.
New Zealand First, Tracy Martin, who was followed by the co-leader of the Māori Party, Te Uarua Flavel. He chose to deliver his tribute in Māori, and although there's a simultaneous translation, it's virtually inaudible and unsuitable for broadcast. Mr. Flavel, though, had arranged for his speech to end with a waiata.
ki ngā tōpito ko tō te motu. Kia hoki mai ki te wā kāinga ko mōhio koe. E tika ana tērā waiata mōu. Mā wai rā te marae e taurima, who will look after the marae. It will be truth, it will be honesty, it will be integrity above all, it will be love for one another. Haere tō haere.
Farewell. Speaker.
That call from the leader of United Future, one of the two smallest parties in the House.
Speaker, I want to share the sentiments expressed by others in tribute to Mary for all that she's achieved as our clerk over the last 8 years and the 20-odd years beforehand that she was a servant of this Parliament. I've often thought that there are a couple of essential attributes that a good clerk requires. One is an absolute poker face to be able to listen to all of the debates in this chamber, absorb their content so that the Speaker can be advised to make appropriate rulings, but never ever betray a hint of prejudice or interest one way or the other in the course that the debate was taking. And Mary, you over the years have proved to be absolutely inscrutable in that regard, and I think it is a tribute to your professionalism, your impartiality and your skill that at a time when passions have mounted greatly in this House, you have been often the one calm voice of order amongst us. So thank you for that. And I think that the second attribute that a speaker, that a clerk needs to possess is an extraordinary ability to assess the situation and to offer advice to the individual member, either privately or through the chamber, seeking assistance on a particular point, again, without ever revealing how stupid, trivial, extreme or otherwise you think the question that you are being asked may be. And I think all members would feel that you have provided advice that has been professional, it has been thorough, and it has often saved MPs from themselves in particular situations. And again, for that we are grateful.
And after Peter Dunn, the ACT member for Epsom, David Seymour.
Mr Speaker, on behalf not only of myself but all ACT members who have served here with Mary, we'd like to pass on our admiration and gratitude for Mary's relentless professionalism and most importantly to wish her very, very successful fishing. Thank you, Mr Speaker.
Who, as usual, had the final word?
Honourable members, I thank you all for that contribution. For me, this is a sad motion for two reasons. One is obvious. Mary, I have treasured your counsel and your sage advice, and I will miss it. The second reason is that because of your physical position in this House throughout this motion, I haven't been able to watch those facial expressions on that poker face. Was it a display of frustration at the fuss that's been made, or was it a display of pride and achievement for what you have done for our democracy? For your information, Mary, your PA, Andy Lindsley, was aware of this motion today. She did not advise you of it, and she told me just before question time she expects a very severe rebuking. And in fact, she asked me personally to her funeral next week. But more seriously, Mary, you are a private person. You do not seek any prominence whatsoever, and you would have hoped that your retirement would almost have passed through this House unnoticed. There was absolutely no chance of that. You go with our best wishes, and we thank you for your services to the democracy of New Zealand.
A standing ovation for Mary Harris retiring after 28 years' service in Parliament, the last seven of them as Clerk of the House. More on our website, parliamenttoday.co.nz. I'm Tom Frewen, and I'll be back with Rhys Lyon and another report from the House at the same time.